Jeff.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein, as you can hear from the brand new theme song we have for him. Jeff Stein is kind enough to join us today to talk about national and presidential politics. Hi, Jeff.
I have two reactions. Okay. The first is tears are welling up in my eyes.
Oh, sorry. That hurt, didn't it? I'm sorry. That I could feel that too.
And the second is, well, it's about doggone time.
Oh, well, really. I mean,
we've known each other 43 years or whatever it is, and it's about time.
Did you hear that song? Do you know how long it took me to come up with that song?
Well, you know, you are a prodigy, and so therefore, you know, I feel fortunate. But, no, that's outstanding. I'm going to have – you know, this is what's funny. I don't know if it's funny. You'll tell me. But, my program here, we have a theme song, but it's consistent with the other music that you hear throughout the day on the station. All right. It's the same, you know, package. And I had a longtime listener, regular emailer, who says, you need a theme for your show. And it's like, dude, I play the same song every day at the same time, and we don't use it anywhere else on the radio station. I think that's a theme. But clearly he meant what you just provided.
Jeff. J-E-F-F. I don't know what your listeners would do if you played that at the beginning of one of your shows.
We're going to find out, because you're going to send that to me, and by gum, we're going to find out.
Brett, let's make sure that does happen. Let's make sure.
I can't believe I found that song on YouTube. I'll send it over.
Beautiful. Jeff, today, you and I had...
You don't know this part, since he just said YouTube. I got one of my videos blocked on YouTube.
How? Okay, do I want to know which account?
Well, here's the thing that I was starting to feel left out. I thought maybe I wasn't doing it right because nobody was blocking me. I wasn't. And so then I got an email last Thursday night. It was to the radio station account saying that I had violated the YouTube policy with regard to commentary about the 2020 presidential election. And then I noticed they pulled something that had been on there for 2.5 months. So apparently I was such a radical, and society was just on the edge because of what I said. It took them 2.5 months to find it.
Yeah. About time.
And what I said, by the way, was that all that you were hearing now were people saying there's no fraud. Well, if there is fraud, there's not much. And then they said, well, it doesn't matter. It's not enough to change the outcome. Now, I think that was a factual statement in terms of how people progress, but I didn't offer an opinion. So obviously the AI robots at YouTube found a word search, and now I can say I've been blocked by big media. So by gosh, I deserve a theme song now that I'm that guy.
They finally got to my complaint. All right. Now, well, you know what it is because you put it in that order and you kind of made it seem like that was a specific, you know, thing. If you would have kind of just said that you'll hear all three of these, which is a true statement. You will hear all three of them, but not necessarily in order from any individual. Then I think they wouldn't have gotten you. But
and it also suggests that I put any time whatsoever into the 2-minute segment that I probably threw together in 20 minutes that morning. So, you know, you're right.
There is no profession that basically looks a far more professional than it really is in radio broadcasting. Hello. Okay, so you and I had to do something today we haven't had to do in years.
Uh-oh.
You actually had to say, what are we going to talk about? You actually emailed me, what are we going to talk about? And I sent you the email back, and I said, when was the last time you and I actually had to prep a show? Because you and I have had the crazy train for so many years. This is the first time since probably before Trump took office, you and I actually had to coordinate topics.
Now, to be fair, it wasn't that I was going to do any preparation. Yeah. It was a matter that I'm doing remote broadcasts all week from the farm show. Oh. And so I'm out of the building for like 4 to 5 hours at a time, and I hadn't been keeping up. that much. And so I just wanted to make sure you weren't going to throw me a curve and say, well, as we've been following all day, and for Jeff to come in here and go, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's oh. let's get on to a normal segment then. CPAC yes. ended here. I think the most shocking part was the 55%, because okay, let's be honest. Did you see that coming, that only 55% had Trump as their presidential nominee in 2024? That quite, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I understand DeSantis being the hometown crowd was going to get some, but the way that that whole weekend was put up on the pedestal, including the golden Trump pedestal, the reality is that I'm, you know, I was thinking it'd be 85-90%, and I'd still think that'd be generous, for the other candidates. What am I supposed to take away from that 55% being all that CPAC? These are his most diehard fans. CPAC saying that 55% is where he's at.
Well, this is what is interesting, because at first I saw, oh wow, he really ran away with it, 55, and then I thought, wait, it's only 55. It's the same thing, Matt, that you just said. Now, some of that could be, and this is the chink in the armor that you're suggesting. He came out, he talked an hour and a half on Sunday, wild applause, etc., although I thought it was a little muted, but keep in mind, you didn't have as much of a crowd as you do in the past, plus you never know how the thing is mic'd, and so I wasn't getting too excited. There were plenty of crowd shots of people jumping up and down and waving their cell phones. That's what they do when people are watching, mm-hmm. But when you're talking, Matt, about a straw poll, you very quietly fill out a piece of paper, you put it in the hat, and you walk along alone. And so that's the kind of thing that might suggest that overtly these folks are saying, wow, well, yeah, it's tremendous. Yes, we'd vote for him again so we can win a third time. But did they put it on the piece of paper? And the answer is no, they absolutely did not. Now, one thing that I did find interesting was they did two separate polls. One, if Donald Trump was on the ballot. One, if he's not running. And the pecking order was virtually the same. The only distinction is that I think 8% of these folks thought Donald Trump Jr. should be in there. And the thing is, he just jumped into third or fourth position. DeSantis won at mm-hmm. that point.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, how well does the family business work in your family? You know, so mm-hmm. I don't know. But it was low, I thought. It was low.
And you're right. It still is more than 50%. So he's still, you know, at least with that diehard base, he's still there. But the question I had, and the one thing that has crossed my mind as I thought about it since the end of CPAC, could this be, I mean, when you look at what Biden's doing, Biden is taking this country back to what presidents used to be. You know, Obama, Bush, you know, Clinton, Bush Sr. You know, it's a god awful job. You and I have talked about that before. It ages you amazingly, and you know, it's a tough job to do when it's done well. It's a lot of sausage making, and it's not really pleasant. But the reality is, we are seeing somewhat results here. We're seeing Biden's cabinet get approved. We're seeing a stimulus check slowly march through Congress. We're seeing, you know, the coronavirus vaccinating. I mean, you can't deny, considering when he walked in, there was nothing set in place. He's done a magnificent job getting these vaccines. You know, not necessarily he's responsible for the vaccines, but getting them out to the states and getting them into people's arms has been going very well. And part of me wonders are people going back and saying, oh yeah, that's what it used to be like. I don't know if I want to go back to Trump again. And I'm wondering if that's where some of his base is eroding.
It could be. It could also be, and I have heard this from people where they have said, I'm a big Trump supporter. I really wish he had won. I don't like the direction the country is going, but you know, it is calmer now.
Yeah.
You know, they say things like, well, you know, I can breathe again because we just didn't know what would happen. And what I found interesting is that Trump himself is saying, at least this is the spin, that he's relieved to not be on Twitter because now he doesn't have to comment on every little thing. Well, some of that is by being president, you kind of have to comment on every little thing, although you do it through different channels. But he's in essence saying that you know, that's the spin. Well, I didn't want, you know, it's kind of like the girl broke up with me. Well, I didn't want to date her anyway. That's sort of what that sounds like. But sure, there's a fatigue factor. Now, the question is, how much of these folks with the fatigue factor for Trump still like the policies, the MAGA doctrine, et cetera, and does that then transfer to a DeSantis, to a Noem, et cetera?
I don't know. I don't think I honestly, of most of the names I saw there, I don't think any of them are going to be the Republican nominee. I really don't. I don't know if it's going to be Trump Jr., but I don't even think it's going to be Trump. It's going to be interesting to see where that party goes in the next 4 years. Tomorrow, and, though.
What, by the way, their rate of predicting these things is horrendous. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, when you look at 2009, this would be comparable, right? The CPAC right after a loss in an election. So it could be 2009, could be 2013. But, you know, Sarah Palin was darn near leading the charge in 2009 for the nomination. So you just take that for whatever it's worth.
Yeah, Snooki was number two. Wow.
But it was close.
It was close, actually. And people, I think, couldn't figure out who was who. All right. So tomorrow is an interesting day because I'm a little concerned. I mean, okay, back to January 6th. We knew that there was going to be a Trump rally in Washington, D.C. And, of course, what ended up happening was horrific. A lot of the most diehard Trump fans, the people that feel as if what happened at the Capitol was totally was legal and was, you know, it's wrong to condemn it. They have been pushing this March 4th thing, and I don't quite get it. It has something to do with when they move the inauguration date and they feel that it's wrong. There seems to be something from the 1870s, too, they kind of keep jumping back to. But needless to say, there's an element to this which I'm concerned about. There was a report today that there was a white nationalist group that they have basically uncovered a plot to try to storm the Capitol tomorrow. Whether or not they are or not, I mean, I think it's very legitimate. They could just put the story out there to kind of say, if you are thinking about this, no, we're going to be there. But what is your thought about what tomorrow? Because it definitely does feel like there is, on one side of it, after all the arrests, I can't believe anyone would try to think about doing this again. But there still is a lot of angry people that want to try to send a message.
This is something I don't understand. Now, of course, your audience knows March 4th was the original inauguration day, and it was only changed during the FDR presidency because of the fact that we no longer needed 6 months from the general election to put a government together.
To shorten the lame duck session.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, in the old days when, you know, you were hitching up the horse and buggy and, you know, okay, it took a long time to get to Washington, took a long time for news to travel, but well, by the 1930s, it made no sense. All right, so I am struck by, and I have not independently verified any of these things. I have heard it from people who are totally unimpeachable sources. The internet is just wild with conspiracy theorists, and they're the ones targeting March 4th. They're the ones saying that that is the true inauguration day, and that's when Donald Trump will come back to office. I'm mystified at what the justification for it is, but I'm afraid to even look. I don't even want to be anywhere near it. Okay, so to your broad point, with what happened on January 6th, how could anybody stir this up? There are people who will stir up anything. And what I'm stunned by are the number of people who are pretty rational folks who are blinded by this. Now, let's hope none of them are motivated to action. Let's hope that for the umpteenth time, when some of these tinfoil hat conspiracy experts come up completely wrong, maybe they'll stop getting clicks and followers and donors. Because I don't understand it, but I think it is wise for everyone in Washington in particular, but not just Washington, to be on high alert. Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow either.
It reminds me a lot of the sovereign citizen folks, those guys that insist that the president didn't really become a president, one of the presidents way back when, and so henceforth, they don't have to follow any rules, they don't have to follow any laws, they're sovereign citizens. And they are very, they'll tell you all these numbers and dates and facts. The reality is that actually the Supreme Court weighed in on this decades ago and said, no, you guys are crazy, basically, no, we're fine, you're not, that doesn't make any sense. So, but I mean, that's what it is. I mean, and what we saw on January 6th was this, is that if you get people who have drunk the Kool-Aid, who have completely bought into the idea, and they are armed, they are angry, they feel as if they have some sort of right to do this. Yeah, that's scary. You know, that the potential is there, but I got to believe, I mean, they're not going to be playing games this time around, and I don't think the National Guard is going to, I mean, they'll light them up, and I really do not think that that's going to be, I don't think they're going to get anywhere near the Capitol like they did on January 6th.
No, and with, you know, thank God for that. But here's my
concern. Or the White House, and I should mention, or the White House, because that was also a place that they've said they've been thinking that they've gotten some chatter about the targeting.
And you had more security around the White House in the past anyway, and so that's a benefit. Here's my concern is that they won't go for the places that are logical. And in other words, this is an illogical argument that they're making, that there will be a change in power. So logic says go to the Capitol. Logic says go to the White House. Well, they're acting illogically. Where might they go? I don't have an answer. I have no idea. But I do know that various state Capitol police forces have been put on higher alert just because of the chatter from Washington. And it may be that you get a bunch of these rogue organizations who don't have the stomach to go to Washington, don't have the resources to go to Washington, but think that they're going to light up their own state capitals because it's convenient.
Yeah.
Another tragedy potentially waiting to happen if people are not vigilant.
I'd be very concerned about Washington, Oregon, and Michigan. Those are the ones that seem to get a lot of attention right now.
Well, and what about, too, Matt, these places where those who believe the election was stolen are pointing to 4, 5, 6 states? Those might be targets, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you mentioned Michigan, but, you know, what about Pennsylvania? What about some of these other ones? Yeah, I would definitely be on heightened alert if I were anyone working in any of these buildings. And I'm sure we won't know about it, although we've heard a little, which was probably mentioned just to help diffuse a bit of this when they say, hey, you know, we know you're looking at state capitals. We're beefing up security. Well, that might dissuade some. That's all we do know. But I bet there's a lot more going on that we don't know because of the foundation you laid for it.
I would not be surprised. As a guy who's in the military, I would not be surprised as well if there was a military unit on alert tomorrow. I mean, because just in case something happened, the 10th Mountain Division comes on down and cleans house. And I would not be surprised. I pray it doesn't come to that. And that would be an extreme thing. But I would not be shocked if there was a military unit that the military said, I want you guys with packs and gear, weapons issued on the tarmac in case you have to roll.
If you're not ready, you know, after what happened the last time, while we're having investigations, what, this very week, hearings about it, then there's no excuse for it. Yeah. I mean, you know, there are a lot of people making excuses for January 6th, pointing fingers at somebody else. Well, here's the thing. Today is March 3rd. You know, March 4th is a date on conspiracy theorist calendars. You have the history, recent history of January 6th. If you're not taking action to be ready this time, I don't even know how to respond to that, Matt.
We'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll talk stimulus and Greg Abbott down in Texas. Jeff Stein joining us, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us once again. Jeff, the stimulus bill, apparently Joe Biden, and he's known for finding deals, although I don't know if I agree with this. He's lowered the threshold, not as much as the Republicans want and not as even as much as some of the moderate Democrats wanted. $80,000 for an individual per year, $160,000 for a couple, which still gets most people involved in this stimulus deal. But the it looks like they're going to get through the Senate. Question for you, how many senators do you think will eventually sign on and vote along with the stimulus bill?
As amended, because, you know, obviously they're already taking some things out that were most high profile. That's a very good question.
I think you'll have I think you'll have a few.
Boy. As I sit here today, I think it's 50-50 and the vice president has to break the tie. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be 50 Republicans on one side, 50 Democrats on the other. I think there may be some flip in each direction. It depends. Does it have the minimum wage bill in it? Mm-hmm. You know, if it has the minimum wage provision, does that cause an issue? But if it gets cleaned up a little bit, all right, I'll give you 52-48.
Hopefully Mitt Romney heals. Apparently he took a tumble. Did you hear about that?
Well, okay. You know, if you can't play with the grandkids without looking like you just, you know, went 15 rounds with Ali, then maybe, I don't know.
We're getting a reminder.
though, what? Of all people, right? I mean, the punching bag on the right is Mitt Romney, right? He's the favorite target of the Trump folks, and he shows up looking like, what happened to your face? Oh, I took a fall. Yeah. Oh, it was a, you bounced is what it looks like, but.
The mayor of Amity, I mean, the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, of course. Yeah, there you go. Jaws, great film. Anyway, Greg Abbott, you know, as some people look at this as just, you know, he's stupid, and he is. He's going against most health experts by getting rid of all face masks, opening up everything in Texas. But it, to me, it's threefold. One, he's trying to take the power grid story off the front page. Two, it's spring break coming up. And three, he knows a lot of people are about to get those Democratic stimulus checks. So henceforth, he wants the money spent in Texas.
Well, we're also talking about a state that is increasingly blue.
Yes.
And so he's trying to get ahead of things. And then that did come down. You know, I was talking about this with somebody the other day, and they said, well, why now? And I said, spring break. You know, because that was the thing. You know, Florida was starting to get a little concerned. And so Florida is probably very happy that Texas said it's wide open, because some of the folks who otherwise might have gone to Texas for spring break, if it was closed in any way, they'd go to Florida. And Florida didn't want that, you know, aggravation, because that's going to get in the way of the DeSantis for president movement.
Well, in Florida, it also seems like individual counties are much stricter. I know DeSantis has tried to rein that in a little bit, but some of the counties, especially the money that's there, they're basically saying, no way, we don't want people on the beaches. And so you get those really interesting pictures of the beach where no one's on one side of the line and the other side's packed.
And, you know, Florida is just an interesting situation in so many respects. Yes, DeSantis is playing the hot hand right now. And you're exactly right. If you're Abbott, what do you do to, again, deflect? Because that power grid situation, I mean, it's just a travesty. And the best thing you can do is have a bunch of your sycophants there cheering when you say, oh, yeah, not only is it wide open, no masks. How about that? I'll see your opening businesses and raise you no masks. Wow. And, you know, and that's what he did. You know, you heard the people cheering.
Well, and it should be noted, water is out in some parts of Texas for at least a month and a half. It's just a nightmare down there. I don't think he'll be able to wipe that away. Jeff Stein, once again, will spotlight this. We got the Iowa Politics Reporter coming up as well. Jeff will also promote where your books are at, too. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Have a great week, man.
Take care. The coming up, hour two, right here on The Matt McNeil Show.